All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Under the radar moves, the theme of the show at the moment, as we bring back in our main panel of Carter Hutton and Colby Cohn. Gentlemen, we are, as you can see behind me, 7 seconds away from the final 2 hours of the program. Jason Zucker goes to Nashville for a sixth. They added Beauvillier as well, sacrificed Trennan in the process. Do you give this Nashville team, when you look at them, pretty much locked into being a wild card team, they're going to play a division leader either out of the Pacific or the Central. Carter, do you give the Preds any hope of winning a playoff series, or can I use the old Daryl Sutter line that's become so famous? Is this going to be a waste of 8 days for the Preds?
I think you got to give them a chance, right? I know that they're undermined, but when you talk about three players for me that can make a difference come playoff time, it's Philip Forsberg, it's Roman Josi, and it's UC Saros. UC Saros is a guy that can steal hockey games. I know he's been on the trading block. They've talked about him being moved, and they've come out and said that if they're in a playoff spot, they're going to keep him. But he is a goalie that I've spent time with. Pretty much the reason why I left Nashville, I had a chance to extend my career in Nashville by 1 year. I wanted to. Goalie coach Ben Vanderklaw kind of came up and told me, you know, UC Saros is coming. You know, no matter what happens, he's coming up the NHL, and I had skated with him. This guy's the real deal, and I know any team would love to have him, but in a playoff series, anything can happen. And for me, these are ads that didn't cost a lot. You know, it gives them a bit of depth. Beauvillier experiment hasn't worked out in Chicago. I think going there, he can come and play. Zucker has playoff experience, a veteran guy, can score goals. It adds some depth. This is a team that, you know, there's not expectations on, and that's always dangerous when it comes to the playoffs. And for those three players can make a difference. And you never know, that Nashville crowd. I've been there in the playoffs, so I've played in the playoffs. We've had some success, and it's a tough building to go into and try to win hockey games when that Nashville crowd is bearing down on you. There's times where I wasn't even playing and I was exhausted after the game, just from the mentality, the crowd, and the energy in that building. And Barry Trotz knows that, and keep this team. He wants to keep this team involved in the playoffs and keep the fans used to playoff hockey, because moving forward, they want to build on this.
Cole, what do you make of the Preds?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you, Carter, on this. And here's the reason why. I look at the goaltending situation, and while I agree with you that UC Saros is, you know, one of these true number one goaltenders in the NHL, and we've come to learn that not every team has one. Okay, these are like starting quarterbacks in the NFL. There's a dozen of them, or maybe a few more, and everybody else is always looking to upgrade. So I look at that wild card situation, and whether they finish in the first wild card or the second wild card, chances are they're going to see Dallas, or they're going to see Vancouver. And I look at the goaltending matchups in those series. And whether it's Jake Oettinger or whether it's Thatcher Demko, I think both of those goaltenders can do the same thing you're talking about as UC Saros. I think those are two big-time goaltenders who are also able to steal games and steal a series. And then I look at the rest of the lineups and I look at the matchups. And while Roman Josi is one of my favorite players to watch in the NHL, the dynamic ability for him to get up and down the ice, transport the puck. He's as good north-south as he is east-west. And sometimes you see a guy who can play east-west, but maybe not north-south or vice versa. I just think that, you know, look at Quinn Hughes. He can play that type of game. Look at Dallas, Miro Heiskanen. He can play that type of game. So while I do agree with you that the atmosphere is amazing, I've actually gone to that building during the playoffs before. I called Winnipeg against Nashville game 7 years ago on Westwood One for the radio and got to really feel the energy in that building. Although that game didn't go well and the crowd was kind of taken out of it early, I know what you mean, right? It's an exciting place to be. It can be distracting for a road team. But at the end of the day, I just look at the lineup and I look at the depth down the middle. And I really think that when you're a wild card team in the West and you're playing one of those heavies, you're going to have a difficult time matching up down the middle and really on that second, third pair after Roman Josi. I don't think that they would have the horses. So I do think they'll get in, but I don't think it will be a long stay in the playoffs for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, you look at the playoff picture right now in the West, it almost feels like it's kind of locked up here as we approach the NHL trade deadline. Gentlemen, I'm going to set you off to the side and we are going to grade this trade. It's the first one we got in a little bit. Matt Larkin chomping at the bit. Trade grades brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Matt Larkin, give me a grade for Nashville. Give me a grade for Arizona.
Okay, Tyler, I'm going to get a little metaphorical here. Okay, so Nashville, it's a B+, but they turned in kindergarten work when the acquisition costs, aside from the actual money, the $5.3 million cap hit, that's big, but a sixth round pick, okay, fine. That's pretty much nothing for a guy coming off a 27 goal season. That said, it's not going to be an A because if you look at Jason Zucker in the playoffs, experienced, but not productive, 8 goals in 46 games in the playoffs. So you're not getting necessarily a huge needle mover there. Maybe he's going to be a decent addition to the top nine. That's fine. You got to give the Predators a chance because they went on that hot run ever since Andrew Brunette. He canceled that trip to the Sphere and then Nashville went on that heater. They created that separation. They're looking good to make the playoffs. Okay, fine. You give them a body. From Arizona's standpoint, it's kind of like I'm the teacher here, right, Tyler? So the dog ate their homework. I'm trying to be nice. I'm giving them a D+ here. There wasn't much they could do. It's an absolute buyer's market today. And yes, like Frank said, they're saving some real money. We're getting close to the 11th hour here. So Bill Armstrong, good on you for getting literally anything for Jason Zucker. So D+, you're just going to get a passing grade from me. You don't have to take the course again.
Can you give me just a grade on the Predators deadline season or deadline? Deadline season as a whole here, couple ads, couple sells. What do you make of this?
Well, to me, they are one of the more confounding franchises in the league. And I said that in the summer because you jettison Matt Duchene, you jettison Ryan Johansson, you're bringing in a new GM. I thought that Nashville was finally ready to stop being mid and bouncing around that playoff bubble, and they were going to be willing to bottom out. But then, of course, you bring in Ryan O'Reilly, you bring in Luke Shen, you bring in Gustav Nyquist, and then you're just adding more bodies to keep yourself in the murky middle. And just the idea of sending out Yakov Trenin and bringing in Jason Zucker, it's kind of so fittingly Nashville, right? You're just sort of moving that revolving door, bodies in, bodies out, and you're just staying in the middle. So to me, if I'm a Predators fan, I don't love these moves. Yes, you're going to probably make the playoffs, but to me, the Predators are one of the furthest teams away from the Stanley Cup. They don't have great prospects overall in their system. They're just consistently competitive, and they're a victim of that. They just can't let go of the idea that, oh, we need to make the playoffs and just get in. It's not about that. If you want to win the Stanley Cup, you got to go backwards to go forward.
Yeah, kind of like take one or two steps backward to maybe one day take 3, 4, 5 steps forward. Matt Larkin with trade grades for Betano. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Tyler.
There you go. Just a quick trade. The Detroit Red Wings officially announcing that they have acquired Radom Šimek and a 7th round pick from the San Jose Sharks in exchange for forward Klim Kostin. Kostin found his way to Detroit via Edmonton, signed a 2-year ticket with the Wings, but just never really quite fit in out in Detroit. So he gets a bit of a fresh start with a Sharks team where he should be able to get in the lineup on a bit more of a regular basis. basis. Why don't we just do a quick little reset here as we are now firmly in to the final 2 hours of our daily face-off trade deadline show. And why don't we look back at a few of the deals that we've seen, maybe not just today, but maybe throughout the entire deadline period as we work our way through. And the action started a couple of days ago when the Vegas Golden Knights made their first of two big splashes. And this one coming from the Washington Capitals as we bring in our main panel. Anthony Mantha goes to Vegas, a second and a fourth round pick. Vegas also goes out and they get Noah Hanifin as well. So they exercise a lot of that LTIR space that they had. Colby, with Stone out, it gave them the flexibility to do this. And I know a lot of people cry foul, and I get it. But also, listen, if you gave them the trade-off of Anthony Mantha or Mark Stone, they would obviously take Mark Stone. And again, I know come playoff time, things can change. The cap goes away or whatever. But what have you made of the work that Vegas has done getting Mantha, getting Hanifin? And do you think they should be done yet?
No, I don't think they should ever be done. Vegas is so exciting in the way that they manage and operate their team. I wish we had more of it. They seem to be willing to go all in every year. And look, people are going to go on social media and they're going to whine and cry about the Vegas Golden Knights, but you nailed it on the head, okay? Mark Stone leads your team. He drags you in. He drags you out. He does so much. You'd rather have him all day, any day, than pretty much anybody else that you could get your hands on. But he gets injured. He's going to be out. Maybe he'll be back. Maybe he won't. And here's the other thing that I think people need to realize. You don't just flip a switch to become a good team, okay? You need to start trending in a certain direction. Those last 20 games, you want to peak at the right time. John Cooper recently talked about the different quadrants of the season and how he looks at them. And that last 20 games is all about getting ready to see who you are and who you can be for the playoffs. So I love the moves that Vegas has made. I played a number of years for Bruce Cassidy, so I know his personality. I know the way he coaches. I know the types of players that he likes. And I look at Mantha, right? I look at the fact that he's big. He can move. He plays straight lines. You plug him into that well-oiled machine. Although Vegas hasn't played well as of late with a couple of bad losses most recently, I still think he will be a good fit there. And then there's Noah Hanifin, the prize of this year's deadline. What couldn't you like about this player? What couldn't you like about what it does to the defensive core that was already incredibly strong with Petrangelo, with Theodore, with McNabb, with Haig? I mean, you just keep going on and on with that D core. There's so much range. Everybody can skate. Everybody can move the puck. Everybody can play physical. And I just love what Kelly McCrimmon does. He's not worried about tomorrow. He wants to bring cups to Vegas. Vegas is the land of opportunity, right? Tons of shows, tons of glitz and glamour, Carter. And they seem to play right into that theme in Vegas. Personally, I just love watching what they do.
No, what I do too. Honestly, Vegas is just was built for the NHL. I remember my first game there. We came out for warmups, and I think that's when we peaked. Like, the crowd is just nuts. The music's going, and it is just an atmosphere built for playoff hockey. And what I love here on the other side of that is, like, you know, you're hearing about Kelly McCrimmon and the ownership group just backing these guys, giving them free reign to win, and they want to win now, where sometimes, you know, teams struggle, and, you know, we talk about GMs not doing stuff, but you're kind of hand-tied to what your ownership wants to do as well. And this team has established that. And you look at this decor, and for me, that just makes this team. Adding Hanifin, Petrangelo, McNabb, Theodore, all these big bodies that take up space, make the game predictable. And in that, Aiden Hill, the, you know, honestly, I'd be lying if I sat here today and told you I thought Aiden Hill was going to have the year he's had. I know he missed some time. I thought after the Stanley Cup and then signing that contract, it was going to be, you know, pull the shoot. I got my money. We're going to hang out now. And he has been great all year. Logan Thompson. It seems like anyone that plays in Vegas is that. And not to forget, recently back in the lineup, Jack Eichel, you know, a guy I spent lots of time with, probably the best player I ever played with in my whole career. When he was on, there's not a player like him in the NHL that can control the puck. Maybe Patrick Kane offensively in Chicago when I was with him, but Jack Eichel all over the ice, him being healthy, adding Mantha, a guy I've played a lot against that is a wicked shot. He's going to get more opportunity because there's more pieces to be covered. This Vegas team is going to be dangerous come playoff time, and I think nobody wants to meet them, especially with the pedigree of what they bring as a home team and the fact that they just won a Stanley Cup. They've been there before, and they can walk the walk.
And if they can get their forwards to track, right? And that's something Bruce Cassidy preaches. He wants tracking from his forwards, whether it's Jack Eichel on the first line or, you know, Paul Cotter on the third line, right? And that allows defensemen to continuously retake ice, regap. And when you start to look at the decor that we've now been sitting here gushing about for the last 10 minutes, these players are going to be able to kill plays at the blue line, okay? They are not going to give teams an opportunity to possess the puck through the neutral zone. They're not going to get free ice, you know, the first 5 or 7 feet into the offensive zone because of Hanifin, McNabb. We didn't even mention Zach Whitecloud, all right? He's become a pretty serviceable guy, and now he's on your third pair in Vegas. The ability to kill plays, which is something I know every team preaches, but a lot of that ability comes from help from the forwards. And that's why when markets blame the defense or the goaltender for their defense, I'm like, no, defending is a five-man operation. How much back pressure and help are you getting from the forwards? That then gives the defenseman opportunities to continue to take ice and continue to end plays between the red line, the blue line, maybe 2 or 3 feet into the offensive zone. And then I think that trickles back to the goaltender. I think that's one of the reasons why you look at Bruce Cassidy's success, even in the American League. We had some really good teams in Providence under him. Now it goes to Boston. Then it goes to Vegas. They tend to make goaltenders look good. And I'm not taking anything away from Adin Hill, but I do think a lot of that stems from the fact the way they back pressure and the way that they will kill plays defensively. So what's not to like there? But they're going to need to start going because their last couple games have been a little bit ugly. No doubt about that. Have to throw that out there.
Our main panel with former NHLers Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton. We got about $1.45 till the deadline, gentlemen. And the 2024 Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Show will keep you up to date, not just up until the deadline, but we'll roll afterwards as trades continue to trickle in. The show is delivered by DoorDash. Our guest line is brought to you by Tim Hortons and Roll Up the Rim. It's back for Tim's 60th anniversary. Play on the Tim's app to win prizes like a daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways. It's on now from March 31st until March 31st. Download the Tim's app to play. Corey Lavalette covers the Carolina Hurricanes. And Corey, appreciate you giving us some time here on deadline day. I know it's busy for you, but this Canes team and this front office has been busy. Let's start with the big fish in Jake Guentzel. Not a front office that's typically loved going deep into the rental market. They do so here. What made Guentzel the perfect fit for Carolina?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think the biggest thing is they were able to get him without giving up a whole bunch of assets that they think are extremely valuable. You know, the first round pick, I guess if you make a Stanley Cup final, you're probably okay with the first round pick going away, especially if you can win one. And then the prospects they gave up are good players, but at the same time, they were able to hold on to their big name guys, right? Alexander Nikitin, Scott Morrow, Bradley Nabu, Jackson Blake, just a bunch of guys that I think are at least at the level of those other guys or above them. So they were able to do it, and they did it by stockpiling draft picks over the last few years. You know, it took them a while to spend, I guess you could say, but they did it with surplus picks. You know, the second round pick that becomes a first, if that ends up being a second round pick, that's the Tony DeAngelo trade from when they traded him to the Flyers a couple of years ago at the draft. So it's really interesting to see the way, if you look back at the draft picks, they had two picks in all of those rounds of the guys they ended up trading, you know, second round picks, fourth round picks. Guys they took, they took two guys in each of those rounds because they stockpiled picks. So, and obviously Guentzel's a great, great fit. We'll see how he does without Sidney Crosby. I think that's the biggest question everyone has. But we just got done talking with him. He seems like he's excited.
Second move they made was a bit of a reclamation project, if you want to call it that, in Evgeny Kuznetsov, giving up a third, but getting a guy who was, some would argue he was the Capitals' most valuable player in that year when they won the Stanley Cup. Just quickly before I let you go, Kuznetsov, do you think this Canes room and this culture is strong enough to get him on the right track and make him a productive player?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the strengths of this team, right, is Rod Brind'Amour and the culture he has around here. Plus, he comes into a room that's going to have Dmitry Orlov, a guy he's familiar with. And Greg Wisniewski had something about this, but, you know, he and Rod actually hit it off at the All-Star game a couple of years ago. Rod was a little surprised that how easygoing guy he was, and then obviously his talent on the ice. When he's on, he's an excellent player. I mean, we've all seen he's one of the premier passers in the league. And second line center has been an issue. Now, can he be the answer there? We'll see. I mean, it's obviously, you're right, a reclamation project, but a gamble worth taking. And, you know, I made the point about the draft picks. Also, Carolina, very, very smart with cap space. And because of that, they're able to take a swing like this. I mean, $3.9 million for the next 2 years is not the end of the world when you've smartly managed your cap.
Corey, appreciate you hopping on, man. I know you're busy with the Canes making a couple of big moves. Thanks for doing this, man.
Anytime. Thanks, man.
There you go. Corey Lavalette on the Canes beat, jumping in to give us some insight on some big moves made out in Carolina. Let's bring in, is our main panel ready to roll here? I think they are. Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton back on the main panel, which is delivered by DoorDash. As we work our way back through a number of moves that have been made, one team, and hey, the Toronto Maple Leafs are usually the talk of the town, boys, but they've added a handful of defensemen. Obviously, a week ago or earlier in the week, it was Ilya Lyubushkin coming in from Anaheim. They pick up Joel Edmondson from the Washington Capitals as well. Carter, what do you make of the depth adds that the Leafs have made on this blue line, and is it enough?
You know, I like it. Two players that I played with in my career, you know, Lyubushkin, I spent with Arizona, not a lot of time, but this is a guy that is a good locker room guy. You know, there's Russians always have a different rapport with players, and he's a guy that is just more of a North American player. He plays a hard-nosed game. Reminds me of my time with Anton Volchenkov. Just plays rough, block shots, does everything it takes, and he's a guy that's going to play hurt. He's going to play through tough situations where sometimes Russian players are known to mail it in when things aren't going their way, and that's the exact opposite of what he's going to do. And for me, I think it's going to slot guys a little bit better. I think Jake McCabe, they've been asking a lot out of him. I played with Jake as well. They got him all over the ice playing every single position, and sometimes just guys knowing their role and slotting into the right ice time minutes, I think it's going to help a guy like Jake McCabe immensely. And now the next guy they brought in, Joel Edmondson, another player that I spent time with in St. Louis, who obviously made my life a lot easier. You know, I touched on that earlier, like the bigger predictable hockey when I was talking about Tanev, where Joel Edmondson did that for me when I was in St. Louis, you know, helped me have a career year, helped me get the contract that I extended on my, you know, on that end of it. And you look back on when he helped that team win a Stanley Cup. So I think Eddie's going to be the same way. He's a guy, he's not going to wow you by any means. It's going to be simple hockey. He's not a puck moving defenseman by any means, but he's going to battle, create space in front of the net. And for me, again, I touch on this all the time. And Colby just had a great point about Vegas. Creating that predictableness for the goalie is so important come playoff time. You know, if you're limiting your chances to perimeter, I watched the way that the Leafs played last night, giving up high quality chances, where on the other end, you see the structure that Jim Montgomery has in Boston. I think that's going to fizzle over to the Leafs, making it a lot easier for this team to be more predictable and help Ilya Samsonov and Joseph Woll moving forward.
Yeah. And look, I don't know Lyubushkin, but I do know Joel Edmondson, and I never played with him, but I've spent some time with him away from the rink, you know, whether it be weddings or bachelor parties or whatever. And, you know, one thing I can tell you about Eddie is guys want to be around him. They really do. He's got that personality that, you know, you can plug him into a locker room and right away, guys are going to invite him out to lunch. Guys are going to want him to come over for dinner. They're going to want to get him into the locker room culture, be around him. And Tyler, you're kind of laughing at me right now a little bit, but you know, I think that's important. I really do, especially when you go into a star-studded locker room like the Toronto Maple Leafs with that sort of big core four. Those guys, you know, they're big personalities. They're always, you know, they've got the big fashion game going. They've got all these different off-ice engagements and things like that. So you bring a little meat and potatoes hockey into the locker room. You bring a guy in who's won. He's mean as hell on the ice. I mean, I was doing games between the benches for the Blackhawks, and you know, Edmondson is not a guy who's afraid of any type of physical confrontation. He's heavy. Excuse me, in the way that he defends. Personally, really liked that move for Toronto. I thought that that could have a big impact. And I agree with you. Jake McCabe at times this year, he's had to play on the power play. And not that he's incapable of doing it, but I don't think that's your way to success if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, having to have Jake McCabe constantly, you know, logging those power play types of minutes. And I know, right, you know, Riley was out, you know, for obvious reasons after the suspension, but I think you're right. A lot of times trades aren't necessarily just about the player. Okay. They're about how does that now create fit for the rest of your lineup? Does that move a guy from the third pair to the second pair that might have been, you know, carrying a third pair? Does it slot a guy back down and give a third pair guy better matchups against better forwards that are suited, they're more suited to play against, especially if you're with a group that likes to match lines, if you have that type of, you know, strategy on your decor? So like the moves for Toronto, then they go out and make a no risk move that we haven't actually talked about. I put something on social media and I talked to Nick Alberga about the Cade Weber trade that they made yesterday. A guy who's a 6'7" defenseman out of BU who wasn't going to sign with Carolina, isn't a flashy prospect, right? I've seen him play 100 times at B over the course of his 4 or 5 seasons, I think now. And he's a shot blocker. He'll cross check guys in front of the net. He'll defend first. He has no care in the world about sexy hockey or offense, right? And I think we're seeing the Toronto Maple Leafs maybe shift in their philosophy of who they're looking for on the back end when you see the trades they made. And then again, you give up a 6th-round pick for Cade Weber. I mean, I'm not guaranteeing you he's going to play in the NHL for you, but what I can tell you is you're getting an already partially developed prospect for a 6th-round pick. There's zero reason not to make a deal like that. Zero risk with some potential reward. Sounds like pretty good asset management to me.
Yeah, when I saw your tweet about him, I was kind of like, oh, damn, you're right. For a 6th-round pick, you look at the percentage chances of something like that turning into an NHLer to grab a warm body back. I like that piece of work by Brad Treliving.
Yeah, he'll go to the American League, and we'll see how he does in the American League if he can get up to speed and he can make a first pass. Look, when you're 6'7" and you can skate, you've got to prove you can't play. When you're 5'10", you've got to prove to people you can play. There is a difference in the way these guys are looked at now that everybody can skate. Defensemen aren't slow like I was anymore. It's just not a thing, Carter.
No, and I agree with that. I think Simone Benoit for the Leafs have been a great example of that, of just taking up space in the defensive zone. Like, and you talk about necessarily, you don't have to be overly physical anymore by any means. Like, you're not going to be drawn out of the play, but just that size alone and what his stick can do and taking up space and area and making it hard to seam pucks. Even last night watching this game with Bruins, like the Leafs get seamed a lot, especially on the penalty kill, adding some size with Edmondson, with Labushkin, and obviously this pick Weber, having these guys with some size to build on in the system, whether it's right now, in the future, or whatever it is, this Leaf team, it seems that way, like it's trending that way, just to have guys that can take up space. And when I watch a team like Carolina play, there seems to be no space when you get in their defensive zone. They play with structure, they play the right way, but at the same time, there's big bodies, big decor, it takes up time and space, and it makes it hard to get any offense going.
A big shout out, Colby. You thought I was laughing at you earlier. I'm laughing at our YouTube chat. They are comedic as always. But a big shout out to the near 40,000 people tuning in right now across the Daily Faceoff Twitter and over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. It's straight hockey talk here on the Daily Faceoff Live Trade Deadline Special. Wanted to give a big shout out to our crack team of producers as well. Aaron Bordado's hitting all the right buttons. Liam Horbin's doing a great job on the directing side of things. Every graphic you see is done by our boy Pat Puff as well. They're working hard here, and we're in the stretch with 90 minutes to go until the deadline, or just over 90 minutes to go until the deadline. So let's reset a little bit here, gentlemen, and flash back to the top of Frank Saravalli's top 50 trade targets. Two of the top five are off the board. Tyler Toffoli is a Winnipeg Jet. Jordan Eberle staying put in Seattle. Riley Smith, Max Pacioretty, Pavel Buchnevich are the three biggest names we are still tracking here on the trade targets board. At 6 through 10, you have Nick Dowd, one of the players with term and a good bottom six centerman that there's apparently been a decent amount of interest in. He's on Washington. Ryan Johansson of the Flyers, Matt Dumba, Frank Vetrano, and Jacob Chychrun out in Ottawa round out your top 10. Tyson Barrie, the defenseman in Nashville. Jason Zucker is, for the moment, his teammate with the Predators. He's gone from Arizona to the Preds. Eric Brandstrom, Jake Allen, and Jacob Markstrom round out the top 15. Allen and Markstrom, the two highest goalies on the list. Alex Nedeljkovic right behind him. I know there's been talk, like we mentioned earlier on in the show, Allen and the Avs. You look at Markstrom and the Devils. Carter, let's pause here quickly on the trade targets board. Nedeljkovic as a checkdown maybe for even a team like Colorado. Do you like him? Is he a guy who you could potentially trust to start a playoff game in a pinch?
I think so, yeah. And he has playoff experience, right? He had that run with Carolina. And for me, it's Nedeljkovic getting back to his game this year. I think when he left and he signed his big ticket deal in Detroit, I feel like I went through something like that, right? You battle to be a backup, you battle to get in the league, and then you get in the league and you get your payday. And there's almost like a sense of relief and you almost like decompress. And I feel like that's what happened with him. He went to Detroit, and then all of a sudden now you've got your money. You're not playing with a looking over your shoulder, the fear of it. And all of a sudden you have the keys to the castle, and it's hard to play. It's hard to sustain that. And then you get back to the love of the game. You know, he loves the game. He wants to be successful, and he's done that this year. He's done a great job in Pittsburgh. Tristan Jarry and Alex Nedeljkovic have not been the problem in Pittsburgh this year by any means. So he's a guy that adds value. And I think just his experience alone, being in the playoffs and what he's gone through, he's played a lot of minutes this year, could be a good relief there in Colorado. So I do like that pick. And again, a guy that isn't going to rock the boat. He knows who he is, and he's had a great year, something that he can build off moving forward into free agency.
Alex Carrier is the second Predators defenseman in the top 20. David Savard of the Montreal Canadiens, another option with a little bit of term. He's got one more year left on his contract. Couple of players moved out in terms of bottom six veteran help. Kyle Okposo goes from the Sabres to the Panthers. Over 1,000 career regular season games for Okposo, only 24 career postseason games. He should get a chance to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Florida Panthers. Pat Maroon goes from Minnesota to Boston in search of his fourth career Stanley Cup ring. As we continue cruising along, we're going to give you the whole top 50 here. Connor Dewar of the Minnesota Wild, Mikael Granlund, again, $5 million cap hit, comes with a little bit of term out in San Jose. Scott Perunovic, a college hockey standout in St. Louis. Colby, if you were a rebuilding team, would you maybe roll the dice on Perunovic?
You know what? I probably would, just based on what I saw him do at Minnesota Duluth. And I had an up close and personal seat to almost all of his success through the Frozen Fours. You know, played for Scott Sandelin, a guy who I think does a nice job of getting guys sort of ready to become pros and kind of learning the little details of the game. So I think Scott Perunovic is probably looking for an opportunity and a fresh start somewhere. I think traditionally we've seen sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, similarly to Ben Myers, you know, who got traded a little bit earlier today off Colorado. You know, I think maybe Perunovic could be an interesting target for a team that, you know, is looking for a little bit of that, puck transporter, two-way, offensively gifted type of opportunity in a young defenseman.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know,
Carter,
we talked about a veteran in there. Yeah, sorry. I was just, you know, you brought up Okposo, and I'm just on my phone. You know, obviously, things are happening fast here. And, you know, exchange a text with him right now, you know, just asking to come on, or, you know, how he's doing and stuff like that. And he says they're really struggling with it. You know, he has some older kids. He has a family of four, and, you know, he can't get on right now. You know, his kids are struggling with the trade, you know, just trying to stop the crying in the house. And something I think for the fans and people to see the other side of it, the human side of it, something that hits home for me, I think, talking right now, knowing that, you know, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. So what these players deal with on a day like today, and a trade that happens, right? He's not gone for long, but it's still, it impacts a lot of different things other than just us watching the ticker, seeing guys move. These are real people. So just something, a little nugget I wanted to add in, because I think it's something to really see the human side of the game.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the hockey perspective and it's like, man, he gets to play in the playoffs now. What a great moment for his career. A guy who you don't know how many more years he's got left, but it's interesting to see, obviously, the flip side, the outside of hockey thing, and just how difficult that would be. I mean, especially when your kids get to the age where, you know, they're invested in your career as well. They're not just toddlers or whatever, who, you know, don't know what's going on. They know dad is the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. I can imagine that adds a really, really difficult layer onto this.
Yeah, and they've been there their whole life. All they know is Buffalo, right? There's a lot of these kids that grew up there. They've been around the locker room. They've been part of it. So it's just an interesting dynamic. I know it's the cross we bear, and I say that with humbleness. Like, you know, when you're getting paid millions of dollars, this is what comes with it, and that is something that as professional athletes, we understand it. I understand that there's certain things that comes with it. I know we have 40,000 people watching where I'm only used to 20,000 booing me. So whether you like it or not, this is just the way it is. There is a human side of it that I don't forget, because I understand that, you know, we're all humans. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, family and stuff is more important than the contracts.
Yeah. Let's keep rolling through Frank's top 50. We got to Alex Barabanov over at 24. Warren Fogel at 25 is an interesting one in Edmonton. If the Oilers are going to make another major add, which again, at this point seems unlikely, salary going out the door could be something they have to explore. Warren Fogel, who's having a great contract year, has a $2.75 million cap hit. That would certainly give the Oilers a bit of flexibility if, and again, big if, they decide to do something else. Coming in at number 26 on Frank's trade targets board is another veteran out in Buffalo in Eric Johnson, a guy who went on that run with the Colorado Avalanche with a $3 million cap hit. You would assume some salary retention would have to be involved at some point, but you could imagine right shot D, always in demand this time of year, a guy who knows how to play in the playoffs. Eric Johnson would be a good pickup for a cup contender. Mike Hoffman, a guy who, when he's on his game, can score goals out in San Jose. Arthur Kaliev, maybe another piece that fits the mold of maybe you're a rebuilding team looking to just bring in a guy, give him a fresh start, and buy on the upside. Kaliev fits the description there. Colin Blackwell, a bottom six piece in Chicago. Scott Laughton in Philly. Colby, when you look at this run of five, which one stands out to you?
I mean, look, I if you would have asked me a couple of weeks ago, and I know Frank has kind of disagreed with me all the way through on this, I would have said Scott Laughton, just because I've seen the value that he's brought to the organization over a number of years, even in dark days in Philadelphia. I think Scott Laughton was a guy that you could just always count on to show up. All right. And Carter's used the word predictability so many times in this show, right? And that's what you get with Scott Laughton. You get predictability, you get north south. You've got a guy who's a leader. You got a guy who's well liked. You got a guy who can still skate. He's been in the league for a long time now. So I would have thought the market would have been hotter on him. And Frank has kind of told me otherwise, to be honest, over the last couple of weeks, and was kind of saying on Daily Faceoff Live and even Morning Cup of Hockey that he felt like, you know, maybe he wouldn't get moved and the Flyers would be completely comfortable keeping him. But, you know, at the end of the day, I maybe it's proximity because I'm in Philadelphia. Maybe there's a bias there because I know Scott Laughton quite well. But he's a guy I thought could have really helped a contender somewhere down in your bottom six with a lot of flexibility. And, you know, another thing, really good penalty killer. And I think teams are always looking for that special teams help, Carter, especially come playoff time. You need those guys who are willing to eat pucks and block shots. Go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
Yeah, just before we continue going along with the list here, we're at number 30. We're creeping up an hour 25 to go until the deadline. Let's go back to our Wendy's Insider Cam, brought to you by Wendy's and their $3.49 six-piece nugget deal. That's a hell of a deadline ad for you at lunchtime. Frank, what do you got going on with the Insider Cam?
I actually just wanted to add to the conversation. Oh. I know there's been lots of talk about Scott Laughton. You know, he is number 30 on our board, but I don't think the Flyers have had received anything today that made sense. So very likely to be remaining with the Flyers past the 3 p.m. deadline. That's all I got.
And one of those guys with term, again, who you could look at in the draft or the summer. Thank you, Frank. Let's keep cruising along with the list here and our boys on the main panel. I believe we were out at number 31. There's a trio of Blue Jackets in this next chunk with Roslovic, Provorov, and Teschier, Kubalik, and Greenway in the mix as well. I mean, And it shouldn't be surprising to sit here and go, wow, what the Blue Jackets are doing doesn't make sense because they largely seem like a lost organization. The fact they haven't sold off more right now, considering what a dumpster fire they are, is shocking. I know they don't have a GM at the helm. I get that that's difficult. But John Davidson, grab the reins and get some picks here, man. This is a lost season. You need to recoup something. I am stunned we haven't heard more about the Jackets selling off pieces.
Yeah, for me, this is a team that's just been a disappointment from day one. I think just even this, you know, the Mike Babcock situation to start just went sour immediately. And obviously the way Johnny Gaudreau has fit in there, it's been tough. And, you know, moving on from the GM, I think for them, it's going to be a tricky time, right? Because like you don't have your GM in place yet. John Davidson is acting as GM. And it's one of those things where, you know, are they going to make major decisions and then handcuff the next guy they bring in? Or is this like a wait and see, you know, just leave steady as she goes right now, until they find someone who's going to take over this hockey team and move forward. But for me, this fan base is just, you know, it's tough. Last night, they have a great game in Edmonton, and that crowd was rocking last night. And it's realistically a meaningless game for this Columbus Blue Jacket team, other than the fact you're playing the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid. So for me, it's something where I'd like to see this team take a step forward. And, you know, obviously Elvis Merlution comes out, says he wants a trade. I think at that point he was underperforming his contract value. So I've always struggled with guys coming out and asking for trades when it's like, you're not playing up to your position. So how do you expect us to trade us? So I think this whole year has been a bit of a write-off, but they have some good young talent. You know, obviously Fantilli going down isn't great. Ken Johnson just got hurt. It seems like everything that could go wrong this year has gone wrong for this Columbus Blue Jackets team. But with some of those Russian forwards up front and the talent they have, the future is bright. And I hope that, you know, it's in the near future, we get to see this team back to the playoffs and being competitive.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about Juracek on the back end. He's another guy who sounds like he's kind of discontent with his situation, had some interesting comments. Maybe that was a month ago or so, which I was kind of like, whoa, certain guys at a young age are not afraid to speak out for themselves. It's certainly a lot different than it used to be. Look, I look at a guy like Ivan Provorov, and you know, I've brought this up a couple of times, when those conversations were happening, kind of Frank and I were going back and forth on DFO Live about it and kind of wondering, is he part of the solution or do they think potentially he's part of the problem? It seems like they probably look at Provorov as part of the solution, or at least let the next general manager, Carter, like you said, you know, make that decision. But, you know, he's already only 4.75 because money in his contract has already been eaten. He's got 2 years left on it. I kind of wonder though, like if you're willing to eat some of the money and then flip him again, he seems like a player that could bring you a big return. And, you know, looking at cap friendly, they do own their first round picks for the next 3 years. They don't have a second this year, but they have 2/3 and they have their second round picks the next couple of years. So they're not short on draft stock. They don't have a ton of extra, but they're not necessarily short on draft stock. You're just going to eat right in the middle of the show and just rub it in our face?
Well, he called in the coupon code, so I just thought this was a great chance to cash in our Wendy's deal. So we did it, and we got it here hot in Toronto.
Must be nice to have
me food.
It must be nice to have people just delivering you food on set, Carter. Goaltenders always get special treatment. I never understood that. I felt like goaltenders should get the least special treatment because you know what? You only have to play half the time.
But I get paid the same no matter I'm playing or not. And there's a bit of seniority in this NHL group. So you're the rookie around here, Cobes.
That's fair enough. You got way more games than me. You had a way better career than me. I'm still clinging on to that overtime winner in college during my glory days before I peaked. Sorry to, you know, the general managers that I let down. Hopefully you're not watching right now. I didn't mean to do it. Okay. I didn't mean to do it. So
yeah. Columbus DoorDash delivered on this one, buddy. DoorDash delivered.
Columbus is interesting. It seems like they've been aimless all year. It really does. And it seems like their luck has gone the way that they've created it when it comes to some of these young players getting injured. Will Macklin Celebrini end up a Columbus Blue Jacket next year? I mean, I think he's the best player in the world, not in the NHL right now. He had another 3 points last night as BU beat Providence. I mean, this kid definitely going to be number one on my Hobie Baker ballot. He's a special talent. So, look, I think a lot of general managers or let's call it assistant GMs, up-and-coming GMs, they've got to be really looking at that Columbus Blue Jacket job as something that could be a way to start your GM career if you're one of these up-and-comer type of guys to have an opportunity, Tyler.
I believe Frank Saravalli has a trade. Frank, let's go to the Wendy's Insider Cam. What do you got?
Finally, Carter, some action on the goaltending market. As we have been talking about for the last number of months, it feels like, Jake Allen is going from the Montreal Canadiens to the New Jersey Devils. The Devils finally get a goalie, and it is in exchange for a conditional third-round pick, which can become a second based on games played. So that's part of the condition. No firm confirmation yet, but I'm expecting that the Canadiens are also retaining 50% on Allen, who has 1 year left on his deal, which would knock him down to $1.9 million for next season. I have been saying for a long time, Allen to me is a guy that really fits as a nice stabilizing piece for New Jersey. This year, maybe he could help you make a push for the playoffs. For next year, he's the guy that you can turn to as your 1B or your backup at that rate, if that's what the retention is. So still waiting on the retention part of it. But Jake Allen, number 14 on our trade targets board from Montreal to New Jersey.
Interesting, Frank. So we're waiting on the news of confirmation. We got the pick, and you got Jake Allen going to the New Jersey Devils. Will send Frank, who doesn't have any Wendy's up in his Wendy's Insider Cam, which is really a damn shame. Get this guy some 349 six-pack of nuggets up in the mix. Let's go back to Colby and Carter. You're our goalie guy, Carter. We just talked Markstrom to New Jersey. I mean, earlier in the week on Daily Faceoff Live, we talked, would New Jersey have a pivot player? Is it Markstrom or bust? Not the case. What do you make of this move? Instead of, you know, continuing to gun for the big fish in Markstrom, they get Allen, even though they're on the outside of the playoff picture.
No, this is a good stopgap for me. I think just getting him in there and solidifying a little bit of veteran leadership, not alone just on the ice, but in the room. And I think it's going to help all their goalies in general. I think they've been overplaying Dawes. Akira Schmidt has been in over his head, and Vanacek at times has been really good. And at times it's been a bit of a product of, you know, this defensive core giving up too much. And I think for me, when I played with Jake, he had a really tough year, and it was a feeling that for me where I think he'd just been in St. Louis too long. And, you know, and it's tough when you're in that market and you're anointed the one, and it just never really came to. And when he redefined his game, he backed himself back in the net, kind of calmed his game down, and he's had a lot of success since then. So for me, moving forward, he's going to do the same thing in Jersey. He knows who he is now. He's not worried about stopping the backdoor pass. He's not worried about the second and third opportunity. He's going to make the saves that he has to make for this hockey team. And that alone is going to instill confidence in the team moving forward, especially with a young group, right? It's different when you're sitting in a locker room and you're going out for a game. And I've been there before, and I've been this guy before. Trust me, I've had runs where I've been horrible. You guys can pull up my Arizona numbers. I was giving up 7 a game. We couldn't win if we were scoring touchdowns, right? So for me, the fact that he goes into this team and he can just solidify that and make key saves, and you're a younger guy looking in the room, you bring in Jake Allen, a Stanley Cup champion, a guy who has a lot of experience, there's value in that alone. Him just being around the team, practicing everything he does day to day, and whether it might not impact them now, it's going to impact them in the future. And for me, I think this is a chase to catch the Philadelphia Flyers, and that's, you know, their goal. And I think him coming in right now, I would not count this New Jersey Devil team out by any means yet.
Well, I definitely don't agree with you in that regard, Carter. I think the New Jersey Devils have played their way out of it, and I think the Flyers continue to surprise everyone with a big win last night over Florida. They get points against St. Louis a couple games ago. I think the Islanders would be the team maybe sniffing at their heels. And look, I think a lot of people out there right now are wondering, well, why didn't the New Jersey Devils make this move 6 weeks ago? You know, why didn't they make this move a while ago? And you know, the only thing I could think of as to why they didn't make this move sooner is because, you know, based on Frank Saravalli's reporting, you know, over the last 6 weeks, it sounded like they were pretty far down the pathway with Jacob Markstrom, and he could have been your number one guy. And Carter, I'm curious your opinion on this, right? Because you are a goaltender, because I could make the argument that they need both of them. And Frank said this, you've said it now. Yeah. Jake Allen can be your perfect 1B if they can go and go ahead, Tyler. I'm sorry.
No. Hey, man, you're on a roll there. But when Frank's got a trade, I got to get the trade from Frank. I'm chomping at the bit for all these. Frank, another one.
It's not super sexy, but the Philadelphia Flyers, we had talked about hey, maybe as, you know, prices are here at the end, you know, do they jump in the mix and add someone inexpensively that could potentially help their playoff push? And the answer on that is Denis Gurianov. So Denis Gurianov is going to the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for Wade Allison. It's technically a minor league deal. Gurianov has been with the Admirals in Milwaukee for most of the season. He's actually north of a point per game there, but he's someone that in his career and with Dallas had actually been a pretty productive NHL player. So remember back in 2020, the bubble playoff run that everyone forgets? Denis Gurianov had 17 points in 27 playoff games, which is still kind of wild, but we'll see. I like Wade Allison, 26 years old, had ran out of runway with the Flyers. Interesting little swap, and I like that Nashville's into all sorts of different things right now at the deadline.
And somehow, while you were saying that, you tweeted that there is 50% retention on Jake Allen. Oh, you muted yourself, Frank. You jumped the gun.
Come on.
It's only two today. I'll give you a break.
When I was out, you bring me back in.
I know.
Yeah, so it's 50% retained on Jake Allen. And as mentioned, this was the last retained salary transaction slot for the Montreal Canadiens. I think fair point by Colby. You've had a number of years now where your goaltending situation hasn't been settled. Jake Allen has been sitting there as the third goalie for the Habs basically all season long. This was on the table forever ago. If you're going to do it now, you probably should have done it then at the same price. It's not like it went down in price. This was probably always what the market was going to be for Allen.
Yeah, fair enough. It just doesn't make sense why they waited this long to do it. We're going to continue along with our conversation on the goaltending, but I'm going to leave Carter and Colby parked for just a little bit. They need to calm down after their disagreement over Jake Allen. Let's grade this thing up with our boy, Matt Larkin. Trade grades brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Matt Larkin, trade grade, Jake Allen. We thought maybe it was going to be Colorado. Turns out to be Jersey. Tom Fitzgerald's in the mix once again. This time he's adding. Give me your grades.
Yeah, this is a very complicated one for me, Tyler. It's a C+ for the New Jersey Devils for me. And I agree to a point with the notion, well, why didn't you make this trade for Jake Allen earlier? I think it's because we know the Devils were in hard on Jacob Markstrom. So Jake Allen was not their plan A. My problem with it is, you just traded your leading goal scorer an hour ago or 2 hours ago. You sent the message that you're packing it in. Why do you need to make this trade now? Yes, I get the idea that with the retention, you have a decent 1B carrying over into next season. But do you need to make that decision now? Don't you want to keep the roster flexibility in the summer and maybe pursue some bigger game? Maybe go after Markstrom again. Maybe go after UC Saros if he doesn't sign an extension. I don't understand the rationale of making this move now. Especially because the Devils, their playoff odds right now, 17.7%. They are 6 points out of a playoff spot. And again, I don't buy the notion that they got to stabilize things and give this team a chance. No, you just traded Tyler Toffoli. Your top goal scorer is gone. You can't send this conflicting message. So to me, C+, even as I'm saying it now, I'm like, wait, maybe I got to downgrade this to a C. And from Montreal's standpoint, I give it an A. It's a pretty simple trade for Ken Hughes. You have that glutton net. You have Sam Montembeault signed, of course. You have Caden Primo, who's capable of becoming that number two. You get rid of that logjam. So to me, it's clean. And you move off half that cap in on Jake Allen going into next year. So easy trade for Montreal. I like it. New Jersey, I just think the timing's wrong. This would have made sense a month ago. And I get it was because he wasn't their primary target. But to me, you just don't make that trade today based on how things have played out.
Yeah, I honestly think I'm with you. If this was, like Frank said, 6 weeks ago, no problem if you're New Jersey. You're in the hunt. If you think Jake Allen's going to get you 2-3 extra wins, that's the difference. At this point, what above replacement level is Allen going to be able to truly do for you in the final 20 games? Even if it is significant, you've lost your best goal scorer. You're not going on a long playoff run. I think it was punt time in New Jersey. Interesting to see that this ends up being the route they take. Matt, thanks for doing this.
Of course, my friend.
All right, we're getting closer to the final hour of the show. We have one more look from our pal Stephen Ellis, our prospect analyst here at Daily Faceoff. His video is brought to you by Found Tire. It's more than just tires. They offer a wide range of auto repair and services from their expert mechanics. Visit foundtire.com to see all the mechanical services that they offer. Steven Ellis, again, for the rebuilding fans watching this show, you want to know what is going on with the draft picks. And you're going to get some late first, some early seconds around deadline time. Who are some under the radar prospects your team could be looking at? Mr. Ellis has your answer.
Hey, everybody. It's Steven Ellis here, the associate editor and prospect expert for Daily Faceoff. And this is my top five under the radar 2024 NHL draft prospects presented by Fountain Tire. Let's start off here with number five, Alex Zetterberg out of Sweden. And yes, he is related to Henrik Zetterberg. He's not sure how, so it must be a distant relative. But when it comes to his skill and just everything he does, the numbers don't lie. He's producing at the U20 level. He produces with the national team. He does a little bit of everything there. The biggest issue, though, is he's 5'7". And I think that's concerning to a lot of scouts because you don't see a lot of 5'7" players. I think a team that's willing to take a chance on him just on his skill could be rewarded here. But again, if he doesn't grow, I can see why teams are pretty concerned. Number four, Mikhail Yegorov, a goaltender with Omaha. If you look at his stats, 3 wins, 30 games, not so great. But he does face over 35 shots a game almost every single night. And I think that's pretty important because he's doing so much to keep his team in games. And that's hard to do when you are continuously getting just attacked every single night with so many shots. I think he looks pretty good. I know at 6'4", teams are excited about that there. A lot of raw talent. In a year where there's not a lot of good goaltending prospects, he could shine as someone who's drafted a little later just because we haven't been able to see what he could do against quality competition with a quality team in front of him. He has to do a lot of the heavy lifting. I like what I see. Number three, Max Plant out of the U.S. National Development Team. He plays with Cole Iserman and James Haggins. And you might have heard of those two guys. Cole Iserman, the top prospect for 2024. James Haggins might be the top for 2025. And he plays so well with them. He's their playmaker. He does a lot of the play driving from the defensive zone to get these plays started. He's not great around the net with the puck, and I think that's kind of the issue. He does look to make these passes a bit more than he probably should, but in terms of a playmaker, you're not going to find guys that are better than him. He's just near the top of the class, so I like what he's able to do there. Next up at number two, Noel Franson, someone who I think should be a top 60 player in this draft, but I know a lot of teams don't even have him on their draft board because he's not great defensively. But what he is good at is moving the puck. He's on pace for 25 goals in the Swedish U20 league, which is very, very incredible considering that's never been done before. So a guy being able to produce at that level is impressive. Again, sure, maybe not the greatest defensively in his own zone, but when it comes to him with the puck, Axel Sandin Pelikka last year looked really good, but he does not come close to what Noel Franson has been able to do this year. And to cap it all off, number one, John Mustard. Great name, great player, a point per game player in the USHL this year. I thought he was one of the best players at the USA Top Prospects game. It's just someone, when you surround him with talent, he's the one generating everything. He's a very good transitional player. I know a lot of people didn't have him high on the draft boards at the start of the year. Actually, NHL Central Scouting had him as a 7th rounder. Talking to some of those scouts now, we're looking at a guy who might be going top 65, top 70. So I like that. And those are my top five under the radar prospects for the 2024 NHL draft.
That is Steven Ellis, our associate editor and prospect analyst, with a look at the 2024 draft brought to you by Fountain Tire. Visit them online, fountaintire.com, to find a location near you. A big shout out to everybody watching along on not just the Daily Faceoff Twitter, but the Daily Faceoff YouTube as well. If you're there and you haven't hammered that subscribe button yet, politely, what the hell are you doing? This isn't a once a year show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon Eastern. Myself and Frank Saravalli with Daily Faceoff Live. Colby Cohn and Johnny Lazarus are live with Morning Cup of Hockey at 9 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday as well. So keep it locked on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. And also, in a couple of minutes, we'll be streaming live on the Game Plus network as well. Let's head back out to our Wendy's Insider Cam, where Frank Saravalli is patiently waiting to give me some details.
That's right. Eric Johnson, veteran defenseman, veteran cup-winning defenseman, is heading to the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for a 2024 fourth round pick. We've talked about the Flyers sort of maybe trying to add to bolster that defense. They've got some significant injuries right now. Rasmus Ristolainen out, Jamie Drysdale out, and Sean Walker traded. So they certainly were in a spot where they wanted to add. A fourth round pick is what's going back. And Johnson has sort of been, he's had a tough season in that transition to Buffalo. He was benched for a bit a couple weeks ago, was dealing with an illness recently, but the Sabres wanted to try and send him on his way. So Eric Johnson could be playing playoff games again in the near future with the Flyers. And I know Colby, he was, EJ was of your vintage, so you would have had a pretty good line of sight on the one-time number one overall pick back in 2006.
Thank you very much, Frank. Let's get to Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton on our on our main panel. Colby, what do you think? EJ's got a he's got some gas in the tank here to help a playoff team.
Yeah, I think anytime you get a change of scenery, I think that gives you a little bit of gas, right? I think you immediately kind of get that new bump and that new energy into a player. You know, I guess the thing that I'm looking at here for the Philadelphia Flyers, a team that I really didn't think they would be adding much because they have outwardly said they are rebuilding this team. But I think this is just in response to the fact that I don't think they want guys like Adam Ginning and Ronnie Adderd playing down the stretch here. I think they like those guys in the American League. I think they have development plans for these guys. Frank just mentioned the injuries. Drysdale, they've said, is week to week. We haven't gotten a ton of updates there. Ristolainen has had injury troubles really since he got to Philadelphia. So you bring in a veteran, maybe you put him with Jamie Drysdale when he gets back, you know, maybe not right now. Cam York and Travis Sanheim have seemed to form a decent pair on the top. And look, you're giving away a fourth round pick. Again, I don't necessarily understand if you're rebuilding why you feel like you need to give any draft capital up, but certainly they see a fit here with the player and they think that he can help his this team. Look, everything they've done so far in Philadelphia has worked, so you know I'm sitting here questioning it, but obviously between Keith Jones, Danny Briere, John Tortorella, they see something here that they need and they like. Carter, I'm not sure where you sit on this one.
Yeah, I just want to lean in there. We got Patrick Sharp there too, another Thunder Bay boy. So, you know, these guys that are, you know, for me, I like the idea. I touched on it earlier. I think there's just value in getting some experience too. Like, I don't know where you value that. And if it's that valuing it, a fourth round pick for Eric Johnson, a guy who comes in, who's a consummate pro, who knows what he's doing, who has all these experience for a little bit of these guys, you know, I understand they're still green. You know, I even if they make the playoffs, are they getting out of the first round? Nobody thinks so, but where does this ownership group and management group value that playoff experience? And I think right there is the statement from them being like, we believe in your group. We believe in this group, especially after last night, you know, beating Florida. It's a big win. You know, now it's like, okay, well, maybe we add Johnson. He has this experience. We get in the playoffs and maybe our guys grow from that. And then next year, that's invaluable how like you can just figure out, you know, where you can go with that. So that's kind of where I'm at. Cause I feel like for me, every time I got to play in competitive hockey, as I got closer to playoffs or was just around it, it's a different feel. You get into the playoffs, it's just a different world. And for these young guys, that's experience you can't buy anywhere else. So I like it. I still don't think the Flyers are going to be pushed over the top by any means, but I think it's just valuable experience at not that much of a cost.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.